This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 167, an extremely goofy movie. So extreme. This episode was brought to you by the patrons. That's right. To find out more about how you can get your favorite movie nominated, head on over to rotoscopers.com/Patreon. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers. Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. I'm your host, Morgan Stradling, joined by the incredibly goofy and wacky co-host, Chelsea Robson.
What a goof. I am but to enjoy the moment.
Yes. She says that because we're talking about a Disney sequel today, which is not necessarily one of the most beloved Disney sequels, but it is one nonetheless. It's on Netflix, which could be an indicator of its popularity and how much Disney cares about this film. There are some good Disney movies that are on Netflix, but a lot of times they kind of, if it's not one of their top tier, upper echelon sort of films, it's like, here you go, Netflix. Enjoy like, this.
Meh.
So, this movie.
Oh, my.
Let's get into it.
See, when people put in their movies for like this, this is your full chance to get our full feedback on whatever movie you want us to do. And it's when they choose these sequels, I just wonder, like, what are they looking for from us? Are they wanting us to go on rants? Are they wanting us to do this? I don't even know, but I have a couple rants.
Perfect. Well, this will for sure be a fabulous episode.
This is like the Saturday parent wants to put something in front of their kid during the day while I do chores or something. Here, push this right one on them, you know. Right. Like, anything will do type movie.
And we are, of course, talking about an extremely goofy movie, which is the sequel to a goofy movie from 1995, which I thoroughly enjoy that movie. You can go back and listen to our review of that. And if you are a patron, we actually did recently wrote a rewatch of a goofy movie and had a great time.
That was
so you
can
check that out there. But yeah, let's dive right into this, shall we?
Let's do it.
He's a son going off to college.
Going already? See ya!
Goodbye, my little college man.
And going for the extreme adventure.
Let's do it!
Until...
Maxie! I'm just a yearning for some learning.
Now only on video.
No!
One goofy dad is about to learn how to groove. Disney presents a movie that proves, no matter how old you are, you never stop learning, that family comes first, even if your dad is goofy.
Dad, you're scaring people.
An extremely goofy movie. Now on video.
All right, who's next over here? We are going to be talking about, as mentioned before, an extremely goofy movie. This was a patron pick by our patron, Sol. So thank you, Sol. She had other ones, but this was the number one that she wanted. It was an extremely goofy movie or Shrek 2 or Mickey and the Three Musketeers or Shrek 2. So couldn't do all of those, but we picked an extremely goofy movie since that was the one that she wrote first. Loves those sequels. Now, this movie... was some basic general information for those of you who are interested and just want to, you know, find your bearings about where this movie's place in history is. The studio is Disney Toon Studios, or Walt Disney Animation Australia. The director was Douglas McCarthy. The release date is February 29th, 2000. So not only is it an extremely goofy movie, but it was released on an extremely goofy day, the 29th.
There you go.
Which only happens every 4 years. And as far as budget and box office, we don't have, but all the other information we got from good old Wikipedia. So, first thoughts about this film. Do you have any recollection about this film when you first saw it or you heard that it was coming out? What are your first thoughts or memories of an extremely goofy movie?
Well, as everybody knows, we loved the first one. We have a very extensive VHS and DVD collection in my house. Because my sister basically buys everything, or my mom buys everything from my sister. And this one, it has been, like, in, like, the top of her shelf for, like, so long. And I'm like, I've never had the desire to watch this. Which, because the whole premise, what I knew was Goofy joins Max at college. And mm-hmm. I just, the fact that it was a sequel and it just didn't look nearly as high quality as the first, and also, like, I could tell that it was, you know, you're just throwing a bunch of 70s songs in there, which have their place, but it was never appealing for me. And so I did watch like one little scene at one point in time, and I was like, yeah, I'm not sticking around to see how this ends. And because it was the scene where they go into like the beatnik coffee joint, and I'm like, I can tell this isn't my thing right now. From this
I'm
one
out.
Moment,
Snap.
I am out. Snap.
Oh man, see, I'm completely opposite. So obviously, I loved the first film. I remember seeing it in theaters. It was so great. Goofy movie has still to this day a very special place in my heart, and I think is very timeless, and it's a classic.
I could
watch it and stick it in right now and love life and have a great time. So obviously when an extremely goofy movie came out, this was in 2000. Now me being a Disney fanatic, this was just continuing to spiral out of control every single year that Disney came out with new movies and whatnot. And so this came out, and of course, since I loved the first one, I was going to love this one. And I do have recollections, very clear, vivid recollections, being at a Blockbuster and looking up at the Blockbuster board where it shows all the new releases and coming soon, and seeing an extremely goofy movie on there. And then later renting an extremely goofy movie. Thank goodness we rented it instead of purchased, because
we own the sucker.
I saw it once, and this was the second time that I ever went back to it. Basically 18 years later. So,
yeah.
But I remember that I was just so pumped for this because it's a goofy movie and I love these characters and the first one's so good. And this one was just really a letdown. And I think honestly, one of the biggest indicators, and this is definitely judging a book by its cover, is the cover.
It is, yeah.
When you see the cover and it's just Disco Goof and Max, and it just looks bad. Like that alone just kind of lets you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, the fact that it doesn't even look on model to the first one is really what gets it.
And that is still a problem to this day with lots of great Disney movies.
For sure. For sure. But I feel like that is the biggest selling point. Like, you can't skimp on the cover, people. I don't even care what what the movie is. Like, we've watched several movies where it's like, the only reason I wanted to watch it was because the cover looks so cool. And they're skimping on the cover, which just makes it look really cheap. And I just wasn't into it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah, so I'd forgotten about the main plot points of this film. I remember that Max was older, that he goes to college, but it completely erased my mind the X Games subplot, which is actually like the main plot. It's not really about college at all. It's,
no.
Hey, Max was really good at skateboarding in that one scene in the first movie. Let's keep capitalizing on that and make the whole movie about him skateboarding, because this was the 90s. Hello, well, X Games.
And Disney did purchase ESPN. Therefore, let's really market this as much as we can.
Right.
And that's like, really, it's like you start out and I'm just thinking, skateboarding. This movie was brought to you by the X Games.
Oh, yeah. And the fact they're able to use like the X Games branding and logo, it's very clear that Disney had permission to do that because, you know, they... Does ESPN own the X Games?
Yeah.
Okay.
Disney owns ESPN. ESPN owns, like, so they just own everything. So
they're just So it's just like,
let's cross promote where we can.
And it was actually very interesting to see that in a film, just like that blatant, you know, a brand that you're familiar with in kind of a movie like this. Usually it's like made up. And everything else about this situation, the college, the fraternities, those are all made up. Like, the college is just called State. And then the different fraternities aren't real fraternities. They're just, you know, one part of the three letters of fraternity, Gammas.
Yeah.
There's nothing really real or tangible that exists in the real world, except for the X Games, brought to you by ESPN.
Well, I mean, why not?
I completely had forgotten that Goofy gets involved with going to college. That subplot I forgot about. I do very clearly remember the beatnik scene with the snapping. Like, that was one that always stood out to me as a very interesting part of this movie. So let's just dive into it, talk about it, dissect it, rant about it.
Well, this is gonna be lots of ranting at this point. I'm just gonna put that out there. The very first, I can tell that the writing in this is just so simplified in the fact that it's like almost TV writing, like setting up the plot. I mean, and I feel like, okay, at this moment, I have not seen the full movie. I know that there's something obviously to do with X Games now, having been 3 minutes into it and seeing what they're doing. Okay, so I feel like I can tell you what the plot is going to be. And so this was my prediction at the beginning, what the plot was going to be. To Max's horror, Goofy decides to go with Max and to college, and then plays in the X Games with Max. And then they win because of some application of the horseshoe talk that he just gives. Max realizes that he loves his dad again, and everyone is happy. And I was pretty dang close.
Yeah, you weren't that far off.
Right. I don't think I was.
And they really didn't try to hide what was going on here.
No. And they just, and I feel like the rest was just kind of filler, though. The fact that they threw in all these other little tiny things, like, but that's still the basic thing, except for the fact that, like, Goofy joins the opposite team in the beginning. But I don't know. It's, even then, he never really goes against his son, because Goof can't go against his son. Like, he's Goofy.
Yeah, one of the problems I have as I was watching this is this completely kind of negates and ignores all the lessons learned in the first movie. It's
yes.
Like, which he learned to love being a goof. He loves his dad. His heritage is really something that's important to him, and not to be embarrassed and to be proud of. And then it seems through the 3 or 4 years that he was finishing up high school, forgot all about that and basically was back to square one. And so as far as the things that they discover and learn and the morals and the lessons in this film, it's just, hey, that was really cool in the second film that Goofy's a goof and Max is embarrassed by him. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
And I didn't necessarily love seeing that happen again. And we see it even at, you know, this very beginning scene where they're barbecuing. The kids are too cool for school. They're talking about X Games. They're skateboarding. They're on his bike. They're on the rollerblades. And the parents are just kind of like, whatever. And then there's the, you know, the scene where Goofy's trying to be very sentimental. He gives them, he wants the bear and the and mm-hmm. Goof, and Max is like, no, I don't want that. That's embarrassing. Like, there's kind of hitting, and then, oh, well, this thing has been passed on from generation to generation. This was my dad's, and then mine, and now it's yours. I guess here we go, Navigator. It was hitting the same plot points. And I'm like, ugh, really? I would have liked to have seen them maybe start this at a different place where their relationship was still good and there was something else to explore. Maybe something that broke it or strained it. You know, going away to college would do that.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was really essentially the plot of a Goofy movie or key elements of that, at least the tension between father and son, just in a new scenario. And it is the exact same scenario because, you know, they're trapped in a car together traveling in the first one. And he has to figure out how to make it work and love his dad and make the best of it. And this one, you know, through the circumstances with Goofy's job, he's stuck in the same college with his dad and has to figure out how to make that work.
Yeah. I totally 100% agree. I just was like, I feel like I should just watch the first one, which I just enjoyed so much more. First, I mean, it goes straight into it, and like, he's, you know, Goofy is still trying to be Mr. Loving Dad, Mr. I'm gonna still take care of you even though you're, like, you know, anyway, this is true millennial situation right here. Like, even though you are going off to college doing your thing, I'm still, you know, that parent generation is still like holding on as tight as possible.
The helicopter parent who is always involved, does not want to let go. You know, and I do like the sentimental moments because, you know, we do see the two sides where, you know, the typical college kid is very pumped, excited, can't wait to get out of the house, start a new life. College is this place where you get to see new thoughts and ideas and meet new people and kind of reinvent yourself as a person.
Right.
And then there's the parent who, they love their kid. They want to see them grow up, you know, because even Goofy's saying, you're a man now. He's excited for him. But then there's that sense of sadness where, you know, this era where you're my son and I'm the caretaker over you for the most part and really responsible for you is being slowly let go as you are leaving the nest for the first time.
Right. And then it goes into the morning after when he leaves, like, you know, Max is just like, see ya, get out of here as fast as we can before, you know, Goofy wakes up, you know, basically. Uh-huh. And then it's like, and then it goes into this moment of, you know, Goofy walking around the house. And then this music starts playing, which I was not a fan of any of the music in this movie. And it was just super, okay, it started out at this point in time where I was like, this just does not fit. And I'm not saying that the music itself was bad in and of itself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
But I'm saying I felt like it was made for a different movie and then retooled because they needed something. And then we'll just make it fit. And like everything about it, it was just had nothing to do with Goofy. It just felt so out of place everywhere. And it just had no like cohesive bond. Like in the first one, I felt I still listen to the whole score of that soundtrack every once in a while. It's just there's different moments of like, ah, yes, this part. This is the, you know, Hi Dad Soup moment, you know. There's just lots of things. But this one, it. Obviously, because it's direct-to-video, you're not going to get as much. But they still paid somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Guy who is in charge, anywhere you say music on this page, it says who is over music. His name is Steve Bartek. And you look at his stuff, and it's not like he is, you know, a newbie at any time. He's been going at this since the 80s. So, obviously, he's like a good musician, composer, slash whatever his job was. But it just did not fit. And mm-hmm. I was... That was my main like beef through the whole thing. Every time something emotional happened or something where it's like, this is where the score would be great, it just became, it just totally fell flat. Like, this just does not fit Goofy. And so that was made, that made me very sad. That was one rant that, okay, I got that rant over with.
Yeah, I completely agree. One of the key things that makes the first movie stand out, and I keep, sorry, I keep mentioning the first movie, but how could you not, you know, reference the two, but were these really cool, unique songs that the characters themselves were singing, and they're just so memorable and so fun. And I understand why they maybe didn't want to replicate that. I think they'd kind of trying to move away from every animated film has to be a musical.
Right. And, we're entering and so the 2000s.
Right. Yeah. Which definitely is a shift in the genre, especially from Disney. We do see some of their films still have music, like Brother Bear and Tarzan, but they're less the characters singing rather than we're just going to have songs that are original to this film. Mm-hmm. And then later films or even, you know, some during that time just didn't even have the songs at all. So definitely this is indicative of where the studio was going. And I'm not quite sure, like, I don't love the music, obviously, but I don't think adding them singing songs would have made this any better. It probably would have made it worse and cheesy, especially based on the key plot points. I'm trying to think of where unique songs could go. And, you know, maybe you have, like, a melancholy Goofy song who's sad about his son, and it just doesn't seem to fit. So I'm fine that there are no songs, but that's really one of the things that made the first one so unique and stand out. And I'm kind of wondering, like, why did they feel they needed to make this movie 5 years later? Maybe that's just because they were just making sequels out the wazoo for everything. But music, well, not so much.
There's this one song where he's like walking to the cafe or something, and it's just this like, don't give up, don't give in, jazz pop fusion thing. And then I'm like, what the crap? I just feel like if this were an indicative of the 2000s, I'd be like, oh no, take me back to the 90s, you know? But I was just like, where the crap did they get this stuff? And then, this is just my own personal thing, it's like, then if they're getting this type of crap, why can't they get, I mean, I need to get some stuff out that's like even just better than this, and I should be making more money. So anyway, that's also where my like passion for this comes from. I'm like, dang it. If this person made money on this, what's my problem? Jeez. Nice.
So one thing that I think is interesting is that Goofy has yet another sort of blue collar job. And I'm not sure what his job history has been over the past few years, but no longer working at the Sears Photo Studio. It seems that his career as a child photographer at the Sears Photo Studio or Kmart Photo Studio or whatever in-store photo studio is no more. It did not work out, so he's working in an assembly line at some widget factory.
And where did Pete go to work after that? That's my question.
Well, this is what I was thinking. As I was watching this, I don't think we really talked about this in the first film, but maybe we did. But Pete lives the lifestyle of someone who's not necessarily doing what Goofy does. In the first film, it's not really clear what his job is. I don't think he's a fellow photographer like Goofy. Like, maybe he's the manager of the store or something. But you don't have a giant RV like that and you're working hourly, you know, at the photo center.
Right.
So we did not get to see what Pete's profession had changed into. But basically, I just assume he's some sort of entrepreneur. He's really good at what he's doing.
Or maybe he just married into money.
Well, that was another thing, is that they completely ignore the wife that is in the cartoon show.
And the little sister.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm very interested in. Can we talk about the divorce that happened here?
Yes.
Because that
Peg
clearly is a thing. The fact that either they just didn't want to model these characters out, which is more than likely. They're like, let's keep this the bro show where only boys are allowed. And so they did that both in the original and this one. But the wife was super cool. And I can't even remember her name.
I think it was Peg.
Maybe Peg.
We'll go with that. If we're wrong, whatever.
Hold on. Pete's wife. What, Goof Troop?
Yeah, Goof Troop.
He's dead. Oh, no. Yeah, Peg. Hold on.
Oh, wow. Pete's the fact that that is still in my head.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, so Peg was super cool, an amazing character. PJ had a sister, and they're never mentioned at all. So the obvious Disney theory here is Pete got divorced, and he got to keep the son, and or PJ chose to live with him because he was in high school at this point. And usually around that time, kind of the kids say, ah, I'm going to live with dad. And it's just funny. Usually the boys tend to go live with their dad, and the girls live with their mom. Like, that very obviously is what happened here, right?
That's what I'm going to go with, yeah.
Which is a bummer, but it was the 90s, and that's just typical of our society now. There's a lot of children and families that are divorced, and, you know, I wish they would have maybe talked about that a little more. That, I mean, if that's really the case, I'm just acting as if it were true.
Well, it's non-discussed for multiple reasons, I'm sure, because it wasn't his. See, now that could have been like a story frame instead of just doing the whole goofy thing again. Anyway, but I think what happened was that, you know, because of his extravagant spending on his low income comparatively to, you know, working, even being a manager at this little photo center, you know, probably not going to warrant getting all this. So my theory is that Pete was such an extravagant spender, had no idea how to keep a budget, and then Peg just got like fed up, and you know, when the government came to repossess things because of failed taxing, you know, he didn't pay taxes on things, well, she was like, you know what, I got a divorce, I got to get my way out of this. That is my theory.
Yeah, going to the Disney's Goof Troop.wikia.com, it has a summary of Peg as her appearances in A Goof Troop. It says, most of Peg's appearances on the show put her in opposition to Pete, as husband-wife often are sometimes, often through Pete's mishandling of money and or treatment of their children. So, man, you must have had this cataloged back from when you were watching Goof Troop 30 years ago. She is often seen taking Goofy's side in Peg of the Jungle. Peg, along with Goofy, Max, Pistol, and PJ, teach Pete to be more sensitive when Pete forgets their wedding anniversary. Oh, gas!
Oh. See?
Classic.
This is what happens.
According to Peg, Pete used to be a much more attentive husband when they first married. Pete eventually gets the message via a scam to make Pete think that he had to win Peg back from a bunch of tribal lookalikes. That last sentence there, I might have to reread that or watch that episode. But anyway,
okay.
Other appearances often feature her real estate business, though it's never gone into detail. So again, they just she's even in the film or even in the show had conflict.
Yeah, that's what happened. I'm just gonna go with that. The undiscussed story of Pete, and it really he wasn't shown at all as a person of interest in this film, though.
No, and the fact that we're talking so much about it, it goes to show how interested we are in the actual film.
Oh, man. But, you know, Jim Cummings alert. They had him come in for Pete, but then I counted him in at least three other roles randomly. Mm. And he's not credited as these people on IMDb, but I counted. I was like, no, I know my Jim Cummings voices, and that is him.
What was the other roles that you caught him in?
He was one of the professors. So, like, he's the one that's like, test is closed or whatever. So he was that one. And then I also caught him at the very beginning when he, like, first goes to the school. I forget the characters now. But there were, like, three parts. So it was like, yep, that's him. Yep, that's him. And they're all, like, random, you get two lines type characters.
Right.
And so they've got Jim Cummings. Use him.
Exactly. Well, so going back to the movie.
Do we have time?
It is time for Max to go to college. And I wasn't quite sure how far away this college was, because then when Goofy ends up coming to college, I'm like, did Goofy have to necessarily live on campus or in the dorms? Could he have just lived at his home? I imagine, no, now thinking through it, it clearly had to have been far away, because he's like, I'll see you at Christmas. You know, if you were in and around town, you most likely would see your family a little more than, you know,
I mean, it seemed a lot like Iowa or something like that with all the cornfields. Like, it has to be somewhere middle America. You have to travel pretty far to get any type of...
Goofy loses his job. And then this is the whole...
The boss of his job, his assembly line, was Jim Cummings.
Ah, nice.
That was one of them.
But one of my favorite parts is he goes to the unemployment center, and the unemployment center says, "Sorry, can't help you. You need a college degree." I'm like, I don't think that's the point of these centers. A lot of people who go to unemployment centers don't have college degrees.
This is a highfalutin temp agency. Let's just say that.
Seriously, where are you going? You need to go leave this place immediately and go find someone who can actually help you find a job. Because there are plenty of jobs that do not require college degrees. And college isn't necessarily the answer for everybody. You know, it's not and in this movie, it definitely promotes that. Like, you know, you can't succeed unless you go to college, right?
Right, right. And this is Chelsea rant number two.
Okay.
because this is actually a really bothersome mindset that I have, because I've worked with so many people that they all, like, you know, did the college thing. But the reason why they went to college was only because they had the idea, I have to get a random degree, any degree will do, for me to have a good, successful life. And they have no idea what they really want to do. And so they just went to school with that idea, and then they end up working retail afterward. And then they're completely in debt. They never pay it off. And they just, like, start this cycle of, you know, I've got all these student loans that I still have to pay off, blah, 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 blah. And they never end up getting ahead. So did that really help you? No, it did not. And
the mindset of, like, I don't care what it is, I'm just going to get something random. That's the crux of the problem.
Right.
No goal or set that this particular degree is going to help me get this particular job. That's all definitely a fallacy, that, like, you just need a degree and it doesn't matter what it's in. Definitely not true now.
Definitely not true. Like, I am 100% getting education for the goal, in order to achieve the goals that you have. But that's the main point, is you have to have the goal first and you have to have the direction first before I would ever recommend somebody getting into $30, $40, $50, $100,000 in debt for a random degree. Mm-hmm, so that, and the fact that there are a lot of people that have made a lot of money without having a college degree. So those are all just because they had that goal. They had a goal that they wanted to do, and so they found out how to do it, and they did it.
Exactly. I have 2 degrees. It's worked for me. Other people, it has not. And other people, they chose not to and are even ridiculously more successful than some of the most successful people you could even think of, right? So anyway, that's our little rant on college. If you're going to go to college or university, it really is a great life experience. It's something important to do, but, like, just make sure you have a goal and a plan. And that's what I kind of like shifting back into the movie. You know, we see where Max is able to have his freedom. You know, they arrive on campus and he gets to skateboard around. He's checking out the new digs, the new place, the new city. Hey, let's go get some Java, which I'm like, do people even call it Java anymore? Come on.
Did they call it Java at the time? That's my question.
It's in this little, like, beatnik cafe that's, like, so out of his element. Like, to me, I just don't see PJ, Max, and Robert Zimorowski, you know, their crew, really, like, digging a place like that and fitting in. But hey, it's a new place. So they go, they get some coffee, they sit down and listen to some sick poetry.
Which, there are some poetry drams that I'm like, that is really sick and awesome, you know. But the beatnik stuff is like, was this ever really a thing except in the 60s?
Right?
Did this really have a resurgence in 2000? I don't remember that at all. So I was just really confused.
Right. Good times.
We are hip.
Right? I guess that's like if you're trying to express very succinctly, like, this offbeat, cool person vibe, it's like, well, just throw a beatnik hat on them and some poetry and some snaps, and they'll get the picture of what we're trying to convey here.
Right, right. And what's funny is, like, the girl in the beret in the cafe.
Yeah.
She never gets a name. That is her name on IMDb. Beret girl in cafe. And I'm like,
you know, and that's
this
such a
really
shame.
Was this really was a no girls allowed movie. Like,
right.
The only person that got a name was the girlfriend, like Viola or whatever.
Sylvia.
Sylvia. I'm like, yeah. I knew there was a Y in there.
Which is such a shame because I thought Bray Girl in the cafe was such a cool character. I loved her character design. She almost had a Meg from Hercules-esque vibe, where she was just kind of sassy. She can hold her own. You know, she kicks the guys out when they're kind of harassing everybody. And I just loved her look. And I think this was one of the things in the commercials that they focused on a little bit was her. Or at least the snapping, or at least this one scene got some play in those commercials. And so you kind of expected it to be a bigger part. Yeah. But it's just one and done, and then off we go to the X Games. And I think it's such a shame because I really liked her character. And they kind of jive for a little bit, Max and her, and they seem like, hey, maybe they're going to start hanging out. But that doesn't end up being the case. We never really see her again.
Well, she ends up going for PJ because, you know, he's gone her way, I guess. I don't know.
Right. After, yeah.
It was just so funny because I'm like, I really want to watch West Side Story right now. They're like coming at like, stop the snapping.
right.
Oh my gosh.
So we have these characters who kind of are the main villains, I guess. And it's
antagonist.
Bradley. Yes. Bradley Uppercuss the Third. Which, with a name like that, and the way that he's looked, the way that he's depicted, and his character and his style, it's just like, I come from money. My family's 100 generations have gone to this school. 100 generations. Wow. Like, since the beginning of time, we've been going to this place.
I mean, I can only count, like, you know, 20 generations in the U.S. for my family, but, you know, that's cool.
Right. And then his friend Tank, you know, and they are, it doesn't make sense. It's like a square peg in a round hole situation because he's the head of Gamma Moo Moo. And so he's not a freshman. He's been here before.
Yeah.
They are the previous winners of the College X Games. But he's depicted more of like this East Coast, you know, rich socialite, you know, with the name Upper Crust the Third. They're even trying to just like make this very obvious. But then at the same time,
I belong at Harvard type.
Right. I'm super good at skateboarding at the same time. Like, I'm really good at the X Games, which I just don't feel that those two archetypes really go together. Like, it seems like they really wanted this stuffy character who to be an antagonist, but he also needs to skateboard because that goes with the plot. And I just don't see this guy's dad letting him skateboard growing up. He was much more of a polo player, let's be honest.
Yeah. Let's the whole time I'm thinking, is this supposed to be like the Tony Hawk, or is Tony Hawk actually going to make an appearance? Because that I would expect that, but no, he did not. Yeah, Bradley Upper. Do not call me Brad. Like, what?
Right? That's even another. Like, he's so uppity. You need to call him by his full first name.
Bradley.
And another thing, they just keep trying to have these two cross paths. You know, hey, these guys have a goal of being in the College X Games. These are the previous champions. They also are the head of this super cool fraternity that we want to be a part of. And then they are taking the same classes, which makes no sense because usually freshmen have a very kind of set sort of schedule that you take. You're not just taking tons of electives your first year, typically.
You're mostly generals.
Right, so either this guy failed it all and he's taking it again, but like, why is he in freshman classes? I'm concerned here. So I just didn't love him. I mean, I got what they were trying to do, but I feel like it would have worked a lot better if we didn't try to shoehorn this X Games plot. And that's like such a 90s thing. I feel like the X Games were super big. And I mean, at least in the mainstream in the 90s. They've still been big since, but that was definitely as they were coming to be and getting a lot of recognition and notoriety.
Right, so that was when Tony Hawk has his years.
Right.
When Tony Hawk was big, that's when it was.
right. So, anyways, that's just my little rant on the old Bradley Uppercrust the Third.
But it's the same thing with when Goofy goes in, too, because he's stated as only needing one more year of college to get his degree. And yet he's in all of Max's classes.
Right. Like,
what?
It's not adding up here. And this is pre-online, you know, education where you just finish your degree online.
Right.
So, of course, they had
would
to
have saved
force
so many
these
issues
guys.
For Max.
Oh, yes. It would have. If this just would have happened even 10, 15 years later, it would have been a significantly better experience for Max and Goof. Although they wouldn't have learned the lessons that they learned at the end.
I guess.
But, yeah. So, I mean, and Goofy takes it very seriously. He says, okay, clearly I've had a job without a college degree this whole time. But suddenly today I can no longer get any jobs without my college degree. Therefore, I'm going back. And so, you know, he goes back. And
my other question was, who is paying for both of these college experiences? Because college is not cheap in the U.S. It is not free unless you have, like, full-ride scholarships. Which, okay, I can take Max as having a full ride somehow.
I don't, okay. But yes.
I don't either. But maybe he was really good at something or other here. But, yeah, the Goof is now jobless and now trying to go back to college. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Financially, people probably should have taken lessons from Pete while they got divorced.
They're probably, you know, racking up those student loans, unfortunately.
There you go.
Which I think they need to get a job and quit skateboarding and just pay for college.
There you go.
The old-fashioned way.
It is possible,
and people do it, my friends.
It's true. So, oh, we're such like killjoys.
We are.
Like, hey, man, lay off our movie.
Snap, snap, snap. Oh, good times. Okay, so, you know, we've kind of just been talking about this. We're kind of talking chronologically through this film, but yeah. I mean, is there any other like key things that you want to talk about as far as scenes? So obviously Goofy hits the scene. He's stuck in the 70s. It's really embarrassing and lame. This is just repeating exactly what happened in the first movie as far as everybody Mumbo. I'm embarrassed by my dad. He's such a goof. Oh, yuck. It's Goof and Goof Jr. It's all coming back to me now.
It's all coming back to me now. Thanks, Celine. Yeah, no, and then you get to the point where he ends up, I mean, Goofy finally gets a girlfriend. So, but that was kind of funny how Max is like, yeah, Dad's new girlfriend. I mean, as though Goofy has had a slew of girlfriends. Is this a thing? Because from my knowledge, I don't think Goofy's ever had a girlfriend. Except for, like, I don't know, has he?
I mean, we're not really given much on his old dating life.
But really not. Did you catch Bigfoot in there? A shaved down version.
Oh,
in the
yes. Yes, yes.
Apparently, he's one of the entrance level exams were very easy for this college.
Nice.
Oh, man. Well, let's talk about some of the animation in it. So through the whole thing, you can tell that it's like second rate type animation. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely not what they did for the first movie. And it's almost akin to what they would have for the TV version. Mm-hmm. And but then you would get to certain scenes, like right up here when we get into this part where they like go into this dance, like right before, you know, Goofy turns into John Travolta. You have this like really weird CGI rotoscoping slash like, I don't know. It was just a really weird type of animation that I was not a fan. I was like, this is so off. Do you remember that part?
Yes.
And anytime they had like the disco things going on too, it was like, I feel so just, this is just weird. Really weird.
Gotta love the late 90s and their attempts at CGI.
Well, and it was almost like they took like the concept from having multi-plane camera and CGI and rotoscoping all in one element. And that was this little dance scene, like as it goes into, and once again, music horrible, but like they're like going up and they're like, oh yeah, man, we're sitting at our dance groove place thing. And I just, this really turned me off.
Mm-hmm. I can feel you.
this is like Chelsea rant day. Like I'm just like, no. I was so happy with the first, and you had to go and ruin it with this one. This is why I never watched it. And then, oh, it gets to the point. Okay, so he does his little John Travolta moves, which is like direct copy of John Travolta, which I was down with. I was totally down with that. I like me some Saturday Night Fever.
Boogie Down. Mm-hmm.
It's Boogie Down. I'm good with that. But then it goes into this part where he, like, you know, Max says, yeah, it's the whole, I have my own life now. Get out of here. Da 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 da. And this school is not big enough for two goofs. And so Goofy is totally, completely distraught. And he ends up going to his class.
All
and at this
alone.
Point in time, talk to myself. All alone. But I, like, he gets to this part and I'm like, is Goofy high? Did I miss something? Because it goes into this like white room and then like psychedelic colors and some type of like Alice in Wonderland vibe. I was like, what the heck? We really went back into the 70s at this point. But I was really trying to figure out, was he just like super so distraught that he was having these illusions, or was he like high? That's my question.
I'd say delusional. I don't think high is something that they really want to get into on this film, although it would be perfect for a college topic. Right. That's a thing for sure on college campuses. But this is Disney we're talking about here.
Yeah, but I mean, word from the wise, word of warning, they could have gone it out. Like, kids, don't do this.
Stay
don't
away.
But I mean, it was just so weird. Like, how did we get into that segment? I'm literally asking, like, how? What did I miss? Or did they just do it? Like, because?
To be honest, don't have a clear recollection.
I don't even know. Well, as far as, like, the other characters we had, Bobby was back in this one. And I was really glad that he got a bigger role.
Uh-huh. It's just Bobby playing Bobby. You know, like, oh, he was so funny in the original. People loved him. So they just kind of, like, amped him up even more.
Yeah, I give him more. People liked it, and I was down with that. I was glad that they gave him more of a role.
Mm-hmm. Got PJ.
PJ, yeah, he was fine. I didn't feel like it was, like, anything big. I'm not really, like, the biggest PJ fan as far as, like, I'm not a super fan. I like PJ, but I'm not a super fan.
Right.
But then the only, as we said, the only person who really got a significant role as far as a girl is going to be Sylvia, the girlfriend, and she basically turns into the Adrian of Rocky when Goof is, you know, getting back focused again.
Right.
He really should have been like, Sylvia! Sylvia! Oh, good old 70s. Good times. Not that I was there. Definitely was not there. But
she's putting it out there, guys. Chelsea is not 45.
I was definitely not there.
She just heard it was some good times.
From what I've heard, from
movie
what I've seen.
Times at that.
From the movies I've seen, you know, pop culture makes it seem like it was good times. And then let's just jump to the X Games part, because that's really the whole point of Max's story. College X Games, you're right, yes. Because they didn't, like, really want to put them into, like, the real X Games, because then they would have had to pay Tony Hawk.
Oh, yes.
And that probably was too much for the budget. Like, so the X Games is obviously, I'm not, you know, someone who knows all about the X Games, so apparently there's, every team has to be a part of, like, several different events. So you've got to be an all-around athlete.
I'm not familiar with that at all, if that's, like, actually a thing, or if they... Right.
Because at no point in time have they ever done, like, a bobsled team, like, throughout this whole thing.
Well, bobsled is not an X Games event.
No. I'm saying, like, he's in his little go-kart thing. Like, there's no point in time that he was, you know, shown as in a go-kart through the beginning of the movie. The only thing you ever see him do, Max, is being on a skateboard.
Yes.
And now he has to do all of these other events. It just seems, like, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess if you are good at one, you are therefore good at all?
Right.
Is that what they're trying to say? Or they're just too lazy to put those other things in at the beginning? I don't know.
We'll have to do more research on this.
Well, yeah, we'll have to do more research. If you have any information, go ahead. Let us know in the comments of the website. Inform us. What does the X Games entitle a team to do. The thing that bothered me was the fact that when Bradley Uppercuss III has cheated in every game that he's ever been in, and Goofy's trying to warn Max, but Max doesn't listen because he thinks he's in cahoots, because why would, you know, of course Goofy would be in cahoots against Max, his own son. Obviously he doesn't know his dad, but...
Yeah, it's been how, 18 years, presumably, yeah. And he's still, like, is distrustful of his dad. I think we need to get Max to a therapist to figure some things out. His daddy issues.
And then they have this giant accident because of whatever Bradley Uppercuss team, the Gammas, did. And now the X has fallen over on to both Max and Tank. And first off, I have major problems with this. The fact that there was no, like, fire truck on hand.
Like paramedics.
Or anything at an X Games event. This is not smart, people. and... Like, they just, like, watch, like, oh no, look, the thing fell, let's just stand there and watch and hope that some it, like, they come out of this unscathed. Like, what?
Right,
this is when you stop things and when, like, authorities come in to clean it up and make sure everyone is safe. But no, they, you know, must finish the race. No one is allowed in. I'm like, yeah, this is smart. Actually, this was the only part of the movie that there was censorship, because it was right after September 11th. And because of, like, terrorist acts, there was going to be another one, like another scene where somebody actually knocks it over. And because of that, they censored it, took that part out, and just made it seem like a faulty something. And it just, like, skips to a part where they're, like, inside. So
I read that, yeah, so they did edit that out, but then all of its home video releases and Netflix releases, it's that scene's still there.
Oh, is it?
If you're watching it on TV, they edited it out.
Oh. Huh. All right. Well, that was just, like, on every article everywhere on the internet. It's like, this movie had censorship. I'm like, all right.
Because it's so extreme.
Right. Thank you for clarifying that to me.
Sure, yeah. But, well, got it from Wikipedia, another very reputable source, you know.
I believe everything that I read on the internet. What are you talking about? So that was my whole thing. Like, all right, so he wins the thing. Yay.
Right.
Yay, Dad.
Then graduates college.
And
finally.
He graduates.
Which?
Finally. And gets the girl. Good.
Does he get the job, though? Wasn't that the whole point?
That's the thing. It's like they make, once again, it goes back to the whole, you get any degree and your life is set. No.
I mean, it would have been pretty sweet if it showed him being the boss of the factory. Like, hey, kick that old dude out. Probably wouldn't happen, but.
Probably wouldn't happen. No. Once again, goes back to the fact that, no, Goofy was incredibly unqualified to be the boss of the factory. Just because you have a degree does not make you qualified. So
that's why we still have interview processes. We don't just say, you have a degree, great, here you go. It's like, oh, let's see what you did with that degree.
Oh man, it's funny.
Good times.
Anyway, it jumps to the point where, you know, you have the reconciliation moment of, oh, it was fun, like, yeah, we had our rough times, but it was good, whatever. And then Max goes to give the gift, which is his X Games trophy, to his dad, which honestly I would end up keeping my trophies at my parents' house anyway, so I don't feel like this was that big of a thing, because I'm like, I don't want to carry that around from dorm room to dorm room. But anyway, but he changes the inscription that says some type of really sweet thing, and then
my dad
see, now that would have been cute. That was a problem I had, is that they did not reference the first movie at all.
Well, other, like, than just copying plot points.
Exactly. Other than just copy-pasting this whole movie, I wish they would have, like, said, okay, no, remember how we had that really soft, tender moment in the first movie? We're going to bring that back. So, mm-hmm. Like, right here, it says, you know, he comes off and he's like, you know, when they're on the boat in the first one, or not the boat, when they're on the car floating down the river. And he's like, you're my son, Max. No matter how big you get, you'll always be my son. And he now is saying it back to him. I'm your son, Dad. No matter how big I get, I'll always be your son. And I'm like, did you think I wasn't going to notice that you just copy and pasted that line and refurbished it? because it, you're maybe you're trying to make it seem like it was like calling back, but it really just came off as lazy writing. I just, if they would have made it like, hey, remember that one time, Dad, how you said that to me while I'm saying it now to you, mm-hmm. then I would have been totally good with that. But no, they didn't reference anything from the first movie. They kind of hoped that nobody would remember that we're copying everything from the first. Rant number 7 or so.
Keep going.
Anyway, so yeah, I wasn't totally right with all of my predictions from the beginning. There were a couple little spots, but
and
in
you
the
legit
end,
predicted that. Like you thought and said, okay,
yeah,
nice, not bad, like, not too shabby. I mean, they did not rebring the horseshoe analogy back.
Kind of. Well, they did in the fact I lost my focus. I need to get back.
Yeah,
but they didn't. I mean, my thought was that they were going to, like in the first one, they used the perfect cast as the dance move in the very end. I thought it was going to be something like that of like, oh, Dad's going to do his horseshoe trick and like win the X Games. That's literally what I thought was going to happen. And I think it would have been like a good thing if he would have done something like that. But no,
horseshoes
it was
are
just
so extreme.
I mean, he did a really cool trick with it, like made it go through all of these different random like tunnels and whatnot. So, hey, it could have worked out. They once again, they got sloppy. They were lazy. But anyway, those were my predictions. And I was pretty dang close. Not totally there, but, you know, I'm glad I was not totally there because that would have been really sad for them.
So, what would you rate it? What are your final thoughts on an extremely goofy movie?
Okay, well, before we go into our ratings, I just want to say, on Rotten Tomatoes, this film actually rates at a 57% based on 7 reviews. But because of that, it is one of the few Disney sequels that on Rotten Tomatoes is ranked higher than the original, which is 53% for the original based on 15 reviews. And I'm like, uh-uh. I wholeheartedly disagree with everything a part of this. No. No, I wholeheartedly disagree. If I'm going to rate this, I am going to give this, honestly, 1.5 stars. It was watchable, but not quite enjoyable. And I had too many rants to make it enjoyable for me. I will never watch this again, most likely. And even if it comes on, I'm going to walk out of the room, most likely. Because this is how I just did not enjoy this. Not quite as bad as Lord of the Rings, Bakshi style. That was, I don't know, did I even give that 1 star? I don't even know. But this was pretty down there as far as, I just felt like, oh, it almost ruined the original for me. Because I was why? And it was close. It didn't. Because I'm holding sure and true to my nostalgia. But that's where I'm at.
Nice. I likewise am going to give it a very low rating. I don't, like, I was excited for this movie when it came out. When I saw it, I was disappointed and I never returned back to it. And I've never really felt a need to until today as my obligation to the patrons. But that being said, I'm like, do I give it 1 star? Do I give it 1.5? Do I give it 2 stars? And I'm probably going to just put it right around where you gave it, 1.5 stars. I didn't really feel that this film did much. I'm not really sure why it exists. It does nothing really to make these characters grow anymore. It just says, oh, let's ignore all the lessons they learned in the first movie and then do those lessons again. You know, and it's just very somewhat dated with the X game reference. Not that the X games are old by any chance, but it just kind of, it's definitely a sign of the times of the 90s, and they focus way too much on it. I feel, you know, he's going to college really just as we've aged him up. He's a little older now. Now right. He's going to college, but we don't want to focus on college. We really want to focus on
our other properties.
Right. So they just kind of like shoehorn this college X Games thing in, which I don't love.
Disney doesn't own a college, therefore it's not going to promote college. Right. It's going to promote X Games.
Right. So, well, there's the Disney College program. So there could have been that. But that's a little different. Anyway.
That would have been really weird if it would like
if he went to the Disney college program. He's like working in the parks.
Like, you know, these two different worlds just folded in on each other. Max is literally working at the Disney parks.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, I feel like I have a place here. Which, I feel no, like I could.
I know you're saying like, oh, he'd feel like he has a home there, but he's like so anti that. He's too hip and cool for school that I don't think he would love his life there. It'd be more like torture in prison. But anyways, yeah, just looking back, didn't necessarily love this movie. Also, we didn't really talk about it, but why did they feel the need to have Max be older? Like, again, it's a, we have to age him up. It's new character designs, new models. I mean, only for those characters. Goofy stays the same, but it just seemed like they were really set on, we don't want to tell any more stories in high school. Let's move on to college.
Yeah.
And yet don't even really focus on that too much. I mean, they do. We see him in school. There's fraternities, whatever. But there was so much opportunity, I feel. And it was wasted. Didn't love this movie, but that's okay.
There's so many ways you could have gone, and yet you chose to just repeat the same dang thing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, let us know your thoughts. Go to rotoscopers.com/168 and let us know in the comments your thoughts on Extremely Goofy Movie. Do you like it? Do you not like it? What would you rate it? All right, now on to the voicemails.
Perfect 10s across the board, except for the German judge. 9 on that one. Hello, this is Alex calling in to give my review of an Extremely Goofy Movie. To be honest, I am more familiar with the trailer for this film because it was included on the Tarzan VHS. However, I have seen the film a couple of times, and each time I have come away from it thinking, it's okay, but it's not nearly as good as the original Goofy movie. Things that I did like about this film are the voice acting, the story, which, while not spectacular and rather predictable, gets the job done, and the animation, which is of higher quality than you would expect for a Disney direct-to-video film. However, I did have issues with the direction that the screenwriter took with Bobby. I felt that he is better in smaller doses, like he is in a Goofy movie, and I just thought that the weird sensibilities that he gives off in this film were a little too much. However, I think that this is a decent film, especially for a direct-to-video film, and I give it 3 stars out of 5. Bye.
Hello, Rotoscopers. This is Sol. I'm beyond excited you guys are doing this film. I know you guys love the original one, but I must say, growing up, the one that they would show the most on Disney Channel back when I was a kid, it was the sequel. So I like them both, but this one also has a very special place in my heart. First thing first, where is Roxanne? It would have been nice to have maybe, you know, a little explanation or shown her a little bit, but it is what it is. I want to talk about also about the animation. This is a sequel, and if you compare it to those straight-to-DVDs movies Disney used to do, the animation for this one, it's quite impeccable, I must say. Now, I also want to talk about the music in this film. Yes, we didn't get the amazing songs like in the first film, but this one at least has the epic disco number. I love disco music, so I think this moment is quite amazing. It's very memorable, fun, and that's all about in this film, just having fun, and I think it's just the quotes and the dance moves are very, very great. Also, I want to mention how great are the characters in this film, the side characters, everyone is just very, very memorable and unique and creative, especially for me, the coffee girl, which many people call her the hipster of nowadays. I just think the quotes are amazing. My favorite one is, do you ever wonder why we always like wearing gloves? I just love the whole breaking the fourth wall. And as I was watching this film, I did notice some characters were wearing gloves and some not. Also, fun fact, you guys know that I grew up watching these films in Spanish. And something that I noticed was that the voice of Bradley in Spanish is the same as Cusco and the horse from Home in the Range. Kind of just a random fact. I think this film just has a great combination of action and romance. It just has it all. Kind of like Tangle, I know, weird comparison, but it just kind of have that element of action and romance. And I feel like also this film is very, very relatable to parents, to kids, you know, teens. And it just has a lot of heart. And it's just a very, very fun and enjoyable film with a lot of heart. And like I mentioned, the whole romance and action makes it like everyone enjoy it. I personally think that. I don't know anyone who didn't like this movie. So for a sequel, I think it's a very strong, beautiful ending to Goofy's story.
Oh no, Soul, I'm so sorry. We probably totally just ruined your favorite movie. Oh, and there's so much nostalgia for you. I'm sorry. Well, I guess there's the fact that there is zero nostalgia for me. And yeah, I really don't have much anything else to say. But, but hey, we'll make it up to you somehow. Okay, we will. All right, everybody. For show notes on this episode, make sure to go to rotoscopers.com/167. I mean, apparently Morgan and I are the only ones who didn't like this movie. So there's going to be lots of people who can share their enjoyment for this movie inside these show notes. We will be there and wanting to talk to you guys and see what you guys thought about an extremely goofy movie. If you're going to tweet about this, make sure you use the hashtag animationaddicts, like I'm addicted to animation, or hashtag animationaddicts167 if you're referencing this specific episode. Our next episode is going to be, drumroll. Come on, Morgan, drumroll. What'd I pay you for?
That's a horrible drumroll.
You're fired as the drumroll. All right, our next episode is the long-awaited, many times requested Pocahontas. This movie has been on our list of things to do on the podcast since we started the podcast 6 whole years ago. So please send us your voicemails. It's on Netflix if you're in the United States, so you really don't have much of a problem finding it, really. And if you want to find it on Amazon, just find it on Amazon. Rent it. It's a great movie. So we will be talking about that one on our next episode. To send a voicemail, head on over to rotoscopers.com/voicemails. Or you can call in by going to 406-646-6575. You can support the show on Patreon, Amazon, Audible, all things. It's cool. And then make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review because those really help. All right. Find us on our individual locations. I am Chelsea Robson. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and my website. I just redid that, adding more music from the songs that I have been coming up with. So if you'd like to check that out, please do. Morgan Stradling can be found on Twitter and Instagram. And are you still big on Snapchat?
Not really. Instagram stories are where it's at. It's basically the same thing. And Snapchat sucks now. So.
Well, it's just so much easier on Instagram because I'm already there.
Right.
So that's why I stick with the Instagrams. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Oh, this was fun.
Oh, yes. So extreme.
So extreme.
How many times can I just say extreme in this podcast? Just because. The big X. All right. Thanks, guys. Until next time.
We are the Rotoscopers.